Santa's helper, the ad said, an appealing image, riding along with the drivers, greeting people at their doors with armloads of unexpected festive packages, cheerily wishing everyone a happy holiday, and making good money at it all the while. What could be finer? I eagerly called for an appointment the next day. After recalling the entirety of my 20-year adult life work history for the application, I recovered in time for the interview. All seemed to go well, and I hoped I was a shoo-in for the 2.5-week position when I was informed of the need for a second interview the following Monday. I was impressed with UPS's stringent hiring standards, if also a little annoyed. Their personnel office in Eagan was a 30-minute drive each way, in very cold weather, with no heater fan. Interview number 2 and the second batch of paperwork went fine. Only one more trip to Eagan for the orientation session was required to fulfill my dream of being Santa's helper at $8.65 an hour. I was called on my first available day and met my driver at the appointed gas station. We were joined by yet another experienced driver whose sole purpose it was to train me in. Meanwhile, some hidden aspects of the job began to surface. I might not be needed every day, and when I was, it might be for only 4 hours or so. I gave up on any ambitious projections of earnings. Then, in lieu of the usual two-piece uniform, I was presented with a one-piece, one-size-fits-all monkey suit to wear. Somehow they forgot about us 5'4", 115-pound women when designing this one, and besides looking ridiculous, its oversize was actually confining. As its crotch hung down to my knees, steps of any height, such as from the street into the truck, were awkward to say the least. Yet my working days were to be filled with hundreds of opportunities for just such steps, leaps, and bounds. Overall, however, the first day went well with my assigned trainer. I was actually grateful it was only a 4-hour day, though, since it was enough for my sorrel boots to wear a huge blister on the back of one heel. In general, the unaccustomed heavy dose of activity and fresh air wore me out, and I slept long and well that night. Luckily, I had an entire weekend ahead to nurse my feet. The next week, and a new driver, gradually revealed more disillusionments and a few embarrassments. I was able to greet only a few of the recipients with their holiday parcels. Instead, I was either dropping the door slammers, as they were called, in the front door and trotting away with no chance of an encounter, or prowling around their backyards with larger packages, looking for likely hiding places if they weren't home. Icy sidewalks and driveways and threatening dogs added nothing but anxiety. Though short, the days were fast-paced, nonstop, and without breaks. I was relieved to have a school and a church on my foot routes at fortuitous places the couple times I was in need of their facilities. But the worst stress of all on this once coveted job was setting off with up to 30 packages precariously piled on my hand truck. This I was to roll down 9 blocks of unshoveled, bumpy sidewalks, up and down curbs, and over obstreperous slabs of concrete walk heaved up by swelling tree roots, all supposedly without spilling. I just knew all those people in their homes, whom I wasn't able to meet at their doors, were nonetheless sitting at their windows watching me perform my Laurel and Hardy-style antics. For the first few blocks, casualties were inevitable, and I came to dread 27th and 28th Avenues, where these overloads always began. Especially trying were the days of misty drizzle, when the resultant ice glaze on the sidewalks made pushing my laden truck up hills almost impossible. The novelty had long since worn off, and I remember replying when my driver said, "Only 3 more days," that the end would come none too soon. So I was surprised on Christmas Eve, at the midnight service while singing carols, to find my thoughts drifting back to scenes and encounters from my job with UPS. Many of the faces I did meet appeared before me, and the brief glimpses of their lives I was privileged to get. The elderly man wearing an oxygen tank, whose front porch was stacked with food, some wrapped and untouched, some unwrapped apparent leftovers, who just shook his head helplessly when 3 times I delivered yet more food to him. The beleaguered housewives, with expectant rugrats at their heels. The cheerful old woman in her wheelchair, with her equally cheerful sister behind her. The people who said, "Well, what is it?" when I handed them their package. The woman in the opulent house who receives packages every day, all year round, according to the driver. the shy young Asian girl who wouldn't open the door for the longest time, apparently out of fear or strict orders from higher powers. Another Asian family with wonderful smells of exotic foods wafting out of their door. The well-known local TV personality looking down to earth and average at his front door. The generous neighbor who repeatedly accepted packages for others, never to receive one for herself. The memories gave me a curious warm feeling about my role in this holiday season. Ever a cynic about the rampant materialism and self-indulgence in our culture, which this season exemplifies, I nonetheless was grateful for an opportunity to extend and accept a few small kindnesses and be touched by the few lives otherwise unknown to me. I have a hunch many of these images will become part of my personal folklore, to be carried along and resurrected seasonally at surprising moments when singing carols or otherwise feeling Christmassy in spite of myself.